So, good morning, everybody. What a privilege it is to share the Word of God with you on one of my favorite nationally, commercially exploitative days in the calendar, which celebrates mothers and motherhood. So, if you're a grandmother, a great aunt, a mother to human children, an auntie, a sister, a daughter, a female relative, a dog mom, a cat mom, a plant mom, and even an almond mom. Whatever mom you are and identify with or as, you are in the right place at the right time because we are here to celebrate you. In fact, could all the lovely ladies in the congregation indulge me by rising to your feet? Ladies, all rise. And at the count of three, dip into a little curtsy. And gentlemen, at the same count of three, can you indulge us by giving us a round of applause? And you can wolf whistle if you like. Just make some wonderful noise for these wonderful women. So everybody knows what they're doing, okay? So, okay, one, two, three. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And because this is the one day that we are recognized nationally. So thank you, ladies. So why do I like this commercial day? And I refer to it as a commercial day because the very brief history of its origin in ancient Greece and Rome are a pagan celebration of... a pagan celebration of Mother Goddess, the supreme mother of all gods, who was celebrated for generations to symbolize her being the protector of abundance and fertility. And after the arrival of Christianity, the practice now became one of the faithfuls or the children of the church on Mothering Sunday to visit their mother church, where they can be baptized and cleansed of their sins as a rebirth. Much later on in the United States, a social activist by the name of Anne Reeves Jarvis from West Virginia, Mountain Mama, who knows, after mothering 13 children, of which only four survived to adulthood, and the others also came to illnesses, initiated the Mother's Day Works Club to improve health, sanitation conditions in local towns, and to educate families on childcare. It was President Woodrow Wilson who signed the decree to make Mother's Day an official holiday to honor and celebrate women and motherhood. And of course, as time has gone on, I don't think Ann Jarvis realized she had single-handedly created a genius marketing tool to see gift sales soaring in the tradition that has now been established to what it is today. So going back to my reason, I like the day so much, and so sorry to Ann Jarvis because she spent the rest of her life campaigning against the commercialization of the Mother's Day day and actually wanted the decree to be reversed and to be taken out of the calendar. But we are where we are. And my reasons are very simple because I get to milk it for what it's worth. I get to walk around all day regaling our children of all the stories, the sleepless nights, the nappy changing, the nose wiping, the hot meals, the taxi of mom service, the laundry, the ironing, the hoovering, the cleaning, etc. And just when my darling husband can't take the competition any longer because of the never-ending story, like Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, "You can't handle the truth." He then bellows, "Darling, just remember, you're not my mother." To which I swiftly respond, "I'm the mother of this home, and I'm the mother of this situation." And if I'm feeling extra sassy, I'll quote a certain American TV reality star whose surname is Kardashian by saying, "I literally started this whole thing." And if you know how ludicrous that is, then you know. And I expect there's an eye roll and his head in the palm of his hands with a think bubble reading, how on earth did I get involved in this? Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 31, and we shall read from verse 10 to 31. Pastor Mark has always let it be known how he's kind of old school and how he likes like an old-fashioned Bible. So I found the biggest Bible we have in the house to bring it today to show Pastor Mark that, A, I got the memo, and for all the younger listeners, memo is another old school term, so you can Google it, and B, we're doing some serious business here today. Proper church, because I bought my big Bible. So let us read Proverbs 31 from verse 10, which is titled, The Wife of Noble Character, also known as the Virtuous Woman. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up whilst it's still night. She provides food for her family. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise to the city gate. So, I don't know about you, but what a tall order this Proverbs 31 woman is for a modern woman like myself to try emulate in my own strength, because by all accounts, she's a superwoman. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about woman, mainly the comparison of the bad woman versus the good woman. The book of Proverbs begins with the command to reverentially fear the Lord. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And it's interesting that the book ends with the woman who fulfilled this command. She is of strong character, great wisdom, great compassion, and she's a vintner too, a winemaker, which is a woman after my own heart. So can us modern women really be like her? Let us unpack some of the great characteristics of this remarkable, extraordinary, multi-talented, multi-skilled, multifaceted woman who is the Proverbs 31 woman, who we refer to in modern day as a multi-potentialite. We should start by putting the chapter in context. These were the sayings or instructions, if you will, of a Jewish mother. She wished to impart to her beloved son, who is about to become king. So before he takes on the kingship, Jewish mothers are very much like us African mothers. We are big on instructions and the rules and manuals. We love to tell our children what to do, who to be friends with, and how to behave in public. And if you have the extra anointing, like yours truly here, who happens to be qualified to tell members of the general public what to do, well, all I'm going to say is if you're booked into one of my clinics, like some of you have already been some of my patients, you'll be leaving the appointment with a health check leaflet. It's my job to tell you how to live your life. So the chapter starts in verse 2, King Lemuel's mother says, "Listen, my son," exclamation mark. "Listen, son of my womb," another exclamation mark. "Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers," final exclamation mark. With all the listens and the exclamation marks, and if she throws in the Southern African twang, because that's how we talk, we say, "Listen here, my boy, let me tell you something." And it's fair to say she was serious, because when we say listen, we mean business. Caleb, our son, gets the "listen here, my boy" at least twice a week. And funnily enough, last night when I was trying to rehash an old wound, he stopped me in my tracks and actually said, "Hang on, Mama, you've forgiven that person and we move on." And I turned to him and said, "Son of my womb, where have you got this godly wisdom from?" And he said to me, "From you, Mama." And I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, this is actually landing. I've got to start practicing what I preach, because he's watching and he's listening. So King Lemuel's mother says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than rubies." And then her characteristics are listed. The first characteristic is her husband has full confidence in her. I've heard it being said that in ancient times, the role of a wife was that of a servant, and servants couldn't be trusted. Therefore, it was common practice that when a husband left his household to travel, he would lock away all his possessions so that the wife would not steal them and run away. So in this verse, it's pertinent to the times, and basically that husbands should be able to leave their wallet full of cash or their contactless bank card on the breakfast table and still find everything intact upon their return. The second characteristic is she brings him good, not harm. That's an easy one and self-explanatory. No kicking or screaming. Everything we tell our toddlers not to do. Only kidding. This refers to her husband's well-being. The noble woman builds her husband up instead of tearing him down. Even when he only has one job to do and gets it wrong, encourage him. Then the remaining characteristics are the real substance and the meat of the matter. In modern day language, it speaks of how in verse 13, in the broader sense, as someone who collects wool and flax, which was the linen of those days, as a woman who applies herself to productive tasks with a positive can-do attitude, with eager hands. The following verse, she is compared to the merchant ships that bring food from afar, to me referencing that not only does she have an adventurous, exquisite palate for good food, she would definitely be what we call nowadays a foodie, and might even have an Instagram blog to show the world how refined her own cooking skills are. But also that she's willing to go the distance to provide the very best for her family and others, as merchant ships were known to do in that day because they traveled from afar. In verse 15, she gets up whilst it's still night. So she's an early bird and literally rises with the larks. And we all know the old saying, the early bird catches the worm. I expect not only does she cook breakfast and the meals for the day for her household, but by rising early, she herself seeks her own spiritual nourishment by seeking the Lord. Because in my own personal life, if I fail to put the Lord first at the start of my day, I may as well write off the day. Verse 16, which is my favorite and is inspirational to me personally, and what all the cool kids call hashtag goals, she considers a field and buys it and plants a vineyard. So she's in the property and wine game. Like I said before, she's a woman after my own heart. It is my dream to become a master of wine. who is by worldly standards considered an expert in identifying all the grape varieties in the world by smelling them and tasting the wines that they produce, and by pinpointing the region and terrain that those grapes were grown. So this little orange pin that I've got on my blazer that I'm wearing today, I need three more of those before I can take the Master of Wine test. And once I've done that, I would like nothing else but to retire on our very own Dutch gabled wine estate in Stellenbosch, Cape Town, South Africa. I would have chosen my homeland of Zimbabwe, but the climate is too perfect and the winters aren't cold enough, because vines need very, very cold winters to produce great wines. But I digress, and I apologize, but a girl can only dream. I often joke with my friends and family that if you want me to listen, obviously take me to church and talk about the resurrected Christ, or take me to a wine tasting or wine club and talk about champagne. So being that this woman is a property owner, it speaks to her sense of being business savvy and business orientated and smart. She's productive and being responsible to utilize the land and not let it lie fallow. I'm the daughter of farmers, and my late father was a farmer and my mother is a farmer. And in Africa, like in biblical times, land must always be producing something to eat or to sell, such as in this case, in the vineyard. Verse 17 says she works with vigor and her arms are strong, translating that she's energetic, physically strong, and a hard worker. Probably finds time to go to the gym a few days a week to do some classes and weight train to build muscle, not just carrying heavy shopping bags from the supermarket to the car. Yes, I'm very ashamed. I need to get my gym membership sorted. In verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp doesn't go out at night. Suggests that she might be what we call a forward planning night owl, in the context that before she goes to bed every night, she's organized enough to have planned the day ahead. She has laid out what she will wear. She has taken food out the freezer, so she knows what's on the menu and she knows what she's cooking. And she knows what the family plans are for the next day, and she's relayed them to everybody so everybody knows where they need to be and what they're doing. So and all this works because she's orchestrated it because of her foresight, forward planning, and thinking ahead. Verse 19 is similar to 17 and emphasizing how productive, industrious, and hardworking she is. In verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. We are all called for service as believers and followers of Christ. She is charitable, meaning she is willing to help, assist, and reach out to those in need in whatever capacity she can. When she sees a need, she's quick to act. Verse 21, another one of my favorites, she has no fear for her household as all are clothed in scarlet. And scarlet is in reference in our times as being covered by the precious blood of Jesus. The following verse, she makes coverings for her bed and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. So in biblical times, the color purple symbolized royalty, nobility, wealth, and status. In essence, it's not calling for us to rush out and buy purple clothes, but in its simplest form, emphasizing that the noble woman looks presentable in her appearance and in her surroundings. So my dear mother, who some of you have met, who is currently visiting us from Africa, she's not here today because she's visiting her old church, and coincidentally, she's also speaking there today. She raised us with the mantra that the Christian missionaries who raised her and her peers taught them by saying, girls, there are three kinds of women in this world. The first woman is the woman who looks after herself but neglects her surroundings. The second woman is the woman who looks after her surroundings and neglects herself. And the third woman is the complete woman. She looks after herself and her surroundings. Verse 23 onwards speak of the respectable reputation the noble woman's husband receives from his peers and community, and how admired he is because of her outstanding skills and ability. Her integrity, her dignity, her entrepreneurial skills, her resourcefulness, her industriousness, her competence, her wisdom, her lack of idleness, her strength, her compassion to others, her dignity, and her encouragement. So, can we possibly live up to the exceptionally high standards of this woman and her outstanding abilities? It may be argued that this isn't just one woman, but the portrait of ideal womanhood. Notice that her physical appearance is never mentioned once, for her attractiveness comes from her character and actions. And King Lemuel's mother says in verse 30 that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Don't see her as a model to try and emulate in every detail. Our days are not long enough to do everything she does. Rather, let us see her as an inspiration to be all we can be in Christ who strengthens us. We can't be like her, but we can certainly learn from her. Not only do her children call her blessed, but her husband. So gentlemen, although this has been a mini mommy masterclass for us ladies to continue to be inspired to come up even higher in excellence and integrity by asking the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we may be inspired by the Proverbs 31 woman, here comes your role, the part you have to play, the one job. Verse 30 and 31, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done. You, gentlemen, are called to praise her.